want to talk to you in the thought, precious things. That's the title, John, precious things. This was an emotional week this week with 911. I'll tell you, I was teared up more than once. I had about, I don't know, six, seven, eight. I had those 911 tracks, and Friday I did go out, and I did pass every track. I went out to individual people. I went down the marks. There's always people in grocery stores. I just found them right in the store, went right up in the store and got them. Amen. I took a grocery cart, that way I would act like I was doing something. I put a couple things in there. I bought some Hostess cupcakes, amen. Two for $3.99, two boxes. You like them, didn't you, Kenny? $3.99 for two boxes. But I wasn't going to let that day get by. I prayed. I hope you prayed. I put a one call now. I asked you to pray for those families. A lot of over 3,000. If you count the ones, there was 24 people missing. That they no doubt they got disintegrated, and the heat and the fire. And 2,600 some people in the buildings, and 200 some people over 200. I think it's 240, 260 somewhere on the planes. The four planes there, and we should never forget that. We should never forget that. Boy, I love America. There's a price to pay for freedom in there.
Yes, sir.
I tell you, I looked, and don't get mad at me, but and I buy it on a regular basis. I'm a regular customer. I called the Record Courier. Oh, I know they had one. They had something, a little article the next day. But did you know the Record Courier did not even have an article on 911 on 911? And I called the Record Courier. And this is no reflection on Kathy. She doesn't determine what they do down there. What she does is helps them in the midst of all their problems. And I chewed out the editorial person, to be honest with you, Kathy, if it gets back to you. Because they, you know what, that I call her ID. They know who they knew it was. And I said, you know, it's pretty sad. On a day like this, you don't even, I said, I went through that paper. I almost went down and discontinued it. I almost stopped taking it. It's the only little paper we got, and now that some of our members work there, and I don't want to go against that. But I talked to the editor, and he said, you know, you're not the only one that called. I was glad to hear that. And I said, you know what? I said, you put that, I said, I'm against drugs. And God's against drugs too, by the way.
Amen.
I said, but in the last year, today on the front page, you've got that Mr. and Mrs. Cole, I think that's their name, I can't remember what their names were. I said that was not no news at all. I said, you got them plastered again on the front page. We know that they've been committed. We know that they've been found guilty. I said on a day like today, you didn't have nothing to write about 911, about our country. But that's the sentiment of the country. He said, we're waiting for the AP press. He said, we'll have something tomorrow. And I said, you shouldn't need the AP. Is there not one person in the Record Courier that could sit down and write? So what I've decided I'm going to do, I'm going to sit down, Brother Jimmy, and I'm going to write an article for next year, and I'm going to give it to, I'm going to make sure we have an article in the Record Courier next year for 911. Amen. Thank God for all those firemen, firefighters and servicemen, and all those people that put their life on the line for us.
God bless America.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I said, you mean to tell me we couldn't say something about our country? We have to wait for New York or for somebody from the AP press where that comes from. And they had a little article there with the little colored pictures there on the front page the next day. But I think it's time we speak out.
Amen.
David mentioned, I wish I could grab the cliche that he said this morning. He was preaching on the book of Acts. It's time to speak up. I think it was something. We need to let it be known. Folks, I love this country.
Amen.
By the way, there were thousands of people out yesterday. I was not one of them. But there were thousands of people all over America standing up for freedom.
Yes.
On these rallies. America needs to get back to God.
Yep, yep.
We as Christians better start getting back to God.
Yep.
Bobby, I pray God help me to get back to you.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's not put our finger at anybody else. Let's just look in the mirror at our own selves.
Amen.
We got enough. America would be a lot better if I was better.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
But anyways, if the word gets out, Kath, it was the preacher. But you probably got word already. I called. Did they let you know I called?
No.
Good. Amen. Don't tell them. They didn't. But I just think we ought to love our country.
Amen.
We all love the soldiers that are here.
Yes, amen.
Thank God for our soldiers and our sailors that are here. Service people that work, that serve our country. The police and the fire and all the, you know, everyone that has a service for, we ought to thank God for them.
Yes.
A lot of people died that day. And you might have, how many got the one call now from me that day?
Yeah.
If you don't get the one call now, you need to get on that number. You get give Pastor Dave your number. You can be on the one call now. It's free. I will say this to you, though. I make a call about every day of the week. and sometimes twice a day. It's a great tool. It's a way I can keep in touch with you. Turn your Bibles to... I love America. Brother Billy, I love the American flag. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. I love baseball and apple pie, and I love the stars and stripes. We're living in the greatest country in the world. And Johnny, it's about time people learn that we live in the best country in the world. Boy, I love America. When I see America being destroyed, I can't imagine men like Cy Yerke, that's even my senior, Carl McDaniel, and these other men are older than me. They've seen our country, what it used to be and what it is now. We just need to get back.
Amen.
We need to just bring back the old ways, Billy. That's where it's at. I'm going to bring you an old-time message this morning.
Amen.
And if I don't get done, I'll finish it tonight, and I'll preach the other one the next round. Amen? I'm going to talk to you about precious things this morning. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Glad you're here. That's a great crowd. You got to realize there's another 100 people. If we would put all the adults and the children, you have a children's church in the basement. You have a large super church. I guess we call the basement, we call Mickey Mouse Church. Then we got super church over there. You got nursery. You've got over 100 some people or more with children and adults running programs right now. There would be no way we could put them in this building all together at one time. So even when you see this, you're just seeing part of the people that are here. Amen?
Amen.
And notice, I'm going to talk to you about precious things this morning. What's precious to your heart? I'll tell you, my country's precious to me. Our service people are precious to me. My freedom is precious to me. My Savior is really precious to me. I want to talk to you about precious things. Genesis 24, verses 1 through 4. And then I'm going to read 51 through 53. And Abraham, how many got Genesis 24? So Genesis is real hard to find. It's the first book of the Bible. Genesis means book of beginnings. So just start at Genesis and you'll be right where you're supposed to be. Genesis 24:1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord thy God of heaven and the God of earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now turn to same chapter, but verse 51. Now there's a great spiritual application, Brother Bobby. There's a great, how God calls his bride. This servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. How God calls us his bride to him. He sends out the Holy Spirit to get a bride. But I'm not going to be speaking in that application today. We're going to just take it just like it is. My thought is not trying to do a spiritual flip. I want you to see something today, okay? How many are with me? And look at verse 50, and I'm well aware of the application of it. Look at verse 51 of that same chapter. Behold, the servant goes out and he finds Rebekah. And he put up a fleece and, you know, he said, God, if the right lady comes, I'll ask her to put down her, give me some water, and she'll also do that, and she'll do it for my camels. And she did exactly what he said. And we ought to start putting some fleeces out to God. Amen. I put a fleece out to God the other night on the land. Behold, look at verse 51. Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's son's wife. And as the Lord had spoken. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant had heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Look at verse 53. That's my text message. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and remnant, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Circle that, those two words, precious things. That's what I want to talk to you about, precious things. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that I can be a blessing. I pray, dear God, we'll realize what things should be precious to us and what should not be precious to us. Help us to focus on the real precious things of life. And help me to do well for you that I can be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Holy Spirit, fill me. Put words in my mouth that I might speak for the King of Kings. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is a beautiful story. How Abraham sent his servant out to find a bride for Isaac. Remember, Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac to be. He was a promised seed. And he waited 25 years. Well, if you look at verse 3 and 4, Abraham gave instructions to the servant that the bride had to come from his kindred and not to be not from the daughters of the Canaanites, verse 3 and 4. If you notice in verse 9, the servant gave an oath that he would do his best to find the right bride for Isaac. You know what? We ought to give an oath to God that we'll do our best. And let me flip it. Let me do give you a spiritual application here. We ought to give God our best for soul winning. Brother Phil, we ought to give an oath to God. We're going to give our very best to go out and win, bring people to Christ. Amen? Notice in verse 9 also. Look at verse 9 of chapter 25. Chapter 24, I'm sorry. And the servant put his hand under his thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. You know, there are some important things to God. And those things that are important to our Father ought to be important to us. Amen? And the things that our Father is concerned about much, we ought to be concerned about much. Amen? And then in verse 10, if you'll notice, the servant goes to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor, which was his brother, Abraham's brother. If you study back in Genesis 11, it was Abraham's kindred. In other words, his bloodline. You know, he went to the right place to find the bride. Can I say something to you young people? It matters where you find your bride. You know, you ought to look in the right places to find your mate. Church is a good place to find your bride. Christian school is a good place to find a bride. Bible college is a, matter of fact, most girls go to Bible college to find their husband. When you ask a girl why she's in, her major is in Bible college, she says husband. And I can't think of a better place to find a husband than in church or Bible college, Christian school. You know, you're not going to find that kind of bride you want out in the bars. You're not going to find them in the honky-tonks, not the ones you want. Hello? Notice also in verse 12, the servant prays for God's blessing to find that bride. You know, I want to challenge you parents that have children. You pray for your children's future. Do you pray for our youth directors that they can help our kids in their future? Hello? It's important to God. I mean, you parents, you ought to be praying for God to help your kids' future, especially who they're going to marry. Now, you can't make them marry, but you could pray for God's leadership and who they do marry. Amen? I remember Brother Mitch over in Maryland. He's in heaven now. He's a good friend of ours at Bethel Baptist Church in Joppa, Maryland. Brother Mitchell, Howard Mitchell. He came to our church several times. I remember Brother Howard. He's in heaven now. Real tall, lanky, cowboy type guy. I remember seeing him 5 o'clock in the morning. He'd be on his knees praying, "Oh God, help my grandsons, help my children to find the right mates, and oh God, call my grandson to preach." How much do we pray for our children? You wonder what's wrong with your children? Maybe because you don't pray enough for them. Amen? That servant was praying. Then if you notice in verse 14, that servant puts out a fleece to find the bride. And when you find in verse 18 and 19, Rebecca did exactly what he put out. Look at verse 14. He said, look at verse 14. "And it came to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, lay down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac." You know, he put a specific thing out for God, a fleece. When's the last? I'm going to be preaching on fleeces. If I get done with this message tonight, I'm going to preach. If I get done with this message this morning, Brother Mark, I'm going to preach on fleeces tonight. If I don't get past my introduction here, we'll do it another service. But it's about time we start. See, you know why we don't put fleeces out? You come back and hear my message, I'll tell you about it. But he put a fleece out, and if you look at verse 18 and 19, verse 17, verse 18, "And she did drink, my Lord, and she said, hasten, and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done," verse 19, "given him drink, she said, I will draw water for the camels." Exactly what he prayed, Mark, came about. He knew exactly what God had for the right woman for his for Isaac. Can anyone say amen? And that's pretty special. And I like, you know, it's always exciting to ask God to do something exactly. John R. Rice wrote the greatest book on prayer that I've ever written, read, Asking and Receiving. And one thing I got out of Dr. John R. Rice, Tommy, John R. Rice said, be specific when you pray. If you need $153, pray for $153. If you need something, he said, be specific so when things happen, you see it's literally answered from prayer. See, people don't pray for things because they don't believe God can do it. And that's why your Christian life is lackluster. And that's why you don't have a lot of faith in God, because you never see God work in your life, because you never let him work in your life. It's called faith. Amen? Well, he saw the hand of God. Verse 15 tells us she was from the right bloodline. If you look at verse 15, Rebekah was from the right bloodline because she was from Nahor, Abraham's brother. If you look at verse 15. See that in verse 15? And then look at verse 16. What a bonus. Woo! Now that she had the right qualifications, Brother Mark, but what a bonus, Brother Bobby. Look what it says about her, Billy. Billy, thank you for doing that furnace work for us. And Rebecca, how many see that? Verse was very fair to look upon. In other words, she was good looking. She was a hey, hey, hey. I mean, when Isaac saw her, by the way, Isaac was 40 years old when he married. You check the next chapter. We're not going to go there. But he was 40 years old when he got a bride. But that's why you kids don't got to worry. You don't got to be worried getting married when you're 16. He didn't get married until he was 40. But notice what she said. The Dazma was very fair to look upon. Woo! He got him a cutie. Now she was right from the right bloodline. See, it's important that we keep it in the bloodline.
Yes. Amen.
See, Christians should not marry unequally yoked.
Amen.
Christians should marry Christians.
Amen.
The bloodline's important.
Yes.
I'm putting you, give me a spiritual application now. I realize that's a physical application there, but I'm trying to give you a type of a truth about you should only marry in the Lord.
Amen.
We should only marry the same kindred.
Yes.
The same kindred spirit. The Spirit of God. How many are with me?
Amen.
See, look up here. Don't be dating lost people.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I'll get him saved. He'll come and hear you preach about hell and he'll get saved. No. Let him get saved, then you start dating him.
Yeah.
There's so many young Christians got ruined lives because they married lost people. I said, well, he'll get saved, or she'll get saved, but she never got saved, and he never got saved, and they got married, and now their lives are ruined. Purpose in your heart that you only marry saved persons.
Yes.
That if you're a boy, you only marry a saved girl. If you're a girl, you only marry a saved boy.
Yeah.
Amen? See, Abraham knew it was important to marry right. You adults, you that got children, you should want your children to marry right.
Amen.
Oh, I don't care. Let them do what they want. You're stupid. Don't tell me you love your kids either. Because those that love their kids would care about who they marry. Isn't this good preaching? Notice also in that verse 16, not only was she cute and pretty, she was a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. She was a virgin. Neither had any man known her. See, a virgin means she never had sex. Hello? I wrote this down. Huh. The greatest wedding gift you could give your... Look up here, kids. Look up here. The greatest gift you could give your spouse when you get married is your virginity.
Amen.
Now, I know today people get married. People have sex they don't have. They don't have marriage. They live together. But that's not God's way of doing things. And I know boys want to be the stud. And I'm the real tough guy, and you know what God says is really special? The virgins.
Yeah.
See, look up here. I want you kids to get this. The greatest thing you can give that person you marry the night that you are married and you come together for the first time is you say to them, I have saved myself for you.
Amen.
See, not just the girls,
yes,
but the boys too.
Yes.
It's about time that we ought to start training our kids to stay pure.
Amen.
And that gift of virginity. And by the way, girls, you can only give it one time. By the way, boys, you can only give it one time. And then you're spoiled. And then boys will say, oh, honey, I love you. We're going to get married anyways. It doesn't matter. Don't you believe him? He told the same girl 2 days ago in another place. It's the truth. Boys are, when it comes to sex, boys are just liars. Boy, this is an X-rated preaching service. No, it's a needed preaching service. You tough guys, stay a virgin. Then you're really tough.
That's right.
That means you've overcome the flesh.
Yeah.
You girls, don't listen to their coopy coo and snooky snoo. Oh, honey bulbs, I love you so much. When he goes to touch you, say, hey, stop. I want you to go tell the preacher how much you love me.
There you go.
Preacher wants to talk to you. Brother Bobby wants to talk to you. Pastor Dave wants to talk to you. Matter of fact, they all three want to talk to you at the same time. Because they love you too. You know what's sad? There's hardly any marriages today. Brother Carl, when I was a kid, women would walk down the wedding aisle with a white dress, saying she was pure. Brother Billy, kids are having sex at 10 years old today. There's hardly any virgins anymore. Matter of fact, I got thinking about, I almost started crying when I thought about this. Can you imagine if Abraham sent the servant out today in 2009 to find a virgin for a bride for his son? He had to go to find a kid like 4 years old. And hope that they haven't been tampered with. That's how wicked this world's become. I'm going to tell you something. With all the evil and the pornography and the stinking filth on TV, and you wonder why your kids' minds, and those games they play, and all the violence and the wickedness, and no wonder our kids are messed up. And the crazy, wild music you let them listen to, and it stimulates their mind. And don't let them kiss and hug and neck. Andrew, you know how to stay pure, son? Don't hold hands. Don't neck. Don't kiss. That way, if you don't do that, you won't get all frustrated next. Hello? How many girls have lost their virginity in the back seat of a car? And don't let your kids go to movie theaters and drive-in theaters with their boyfriends by themselves. I wouldn't let them go at all. Because I haven't been to a movie house in 40 years. Because why would I want to go help the world?
Amen.
I'll let it all fly out today.
Amen.
You know what? We need to start. I really believe parents and grandparents, we need to start caring about our children.
Yeah.
And we need to start putting truths in our kids' heart.
Yeah.
I know some of you college and career with Brother Mike, you're still single. And you ought to be saying, you know what? I'm going to stay pure.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay pure.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. You stay pure, and that night when you give yourself to that wife or that husband, I'm going to tell you right now, that is going to be so special. By the way, if you don't stay pure, if you don't stay a virgin, You've cheated your spouse. Yep. You've cheated yourself. And you've cheated your marriage.
Yep.
Hello?
Amen.
I think there ought to be, Brother Bobby, I think we ought to push our kids and teach them that to stay pure till the day they get married.
Amen.
She was a virgin. See, now to me, that's, we're talking about precious things.
Yep.
See, you tell me when you get married, preacher, I'm a virgin. That's precious.
Amen?
Amen. Now I want you to notice verse 53, my text. How was that for an introduction? No, I'm not kidding you. That is my introduction. Look at verse 53. It says, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver, gold, and gave them to Rebekah, and gave them to her brother Laban, and to her mother. Precious things. He gave them precious things made of gold and silver. Now, let me say this to you, and I'm going to. I will have to finish this message tonight, because I did 4 pages and I just got done with the introduction, and I'm not lying to you. And I'm not going to hurry, because God put this in my heart. What are some precious things in your life? What are some precious things? It says that they gave him, and they were another mother, precious. He gave them precious things. What are precious things in your life? Is gold and silver precious in your life? Man, I'm like Peter and them in the book of Acts. Silver and gold have I none. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus. Amen? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Rick?
Oh, yeah.
But in some people's life, silver and gold are precious to them. Matter of fact, that's all they can think about is silver and gold.
Yeah.
Is your clothes and shoes and garments precious to you? I remember reading years ago, a lady had 3,000 pairs of shoes. She literally had 3,000 pairs of shoes. And I got thinking, if you have 3,000 pairs of shoes, you got to have a lot of closets to put those shoes in. Not only that, girls, let me get the boys caught up with you. If you got 3,000 pairs of shoes, that means you got to have 3,000 different purses to match. Because whenever I buy Rosie a pair of shoes, I always give her money for a purse too. Because you got to have a purse to match the shoes. Then if you're going to go that far, you got to find a dress. You can't wear shoes without having a matching dress. Do you realize, Brother Mike, the wardrobe that lady had over in the Philippines? 3,000 of everything, Brother Wes. Man, that was precious to her. We're talking about precious things today. Today, this morning, and tonight. Is your boat, cars, and houses precious to you? Some people, they live for their house, they live for their car, they live for their boats. I mean, their whole life is revolved around something that, that house is precious to me. Or that boat's precious to me. I thought if I ever got a boat, I was going to call it visitation. Me and Phil could go out on visitation every day. Go fishing. That's the name of your boat, Kenny. Visitation. You say, where's Kenny? He's out on visitation, man. Him and Preacher out on visitation. Name that boat Visitation, Ken. We'll go out on visitation every day, okay, Kenny? I mean, it's amazing what's precious to people's lives. I thought about this, because boy, God spoke to me a week ago about this, and plus I've been listening to those tapes of Ken on the creation and evolution. He knocks about sports all the time. He's right. You know, are your sport teams precious to you? I got thinking, Sports really, they occupy our whole lives. You know how much football I watched yesterday? Not one game. Not one play. I purposely didn't do it. I couldn't tell you what Ohio State and Michigan, I don't know what they, I didn't watch, I couldn't tell you what Notre Dame did. I couldn't even tell you who played because I didn't watch one of them. All I did was pray and study and work, stay around the house. I didn't feel good. I had some trouble with my health. I had some health issues because of my fault. Because I didn't take my insulin for 2 weeks, and last three days I've been having some trouble. But I've been, you know, I was sick, but I'm coming back. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, let them that are stupid stay stupid. You got insulin. It wasn't that I didn't have insulin. I've got insulin. I just didn't take it. Shoots up to 200. You wonder, well, wonder why that happened. Well, for 2 weeks you didn't take it, Sammy. Look up here. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't give a flip. You know, I got thinking, boy, we are controlled by sports. No, I mean this. I mean, I grew up loving sports. I mean, sports controlled my life. That preacher's right about that, brother. He really is. You know, I don't care what sport. And I'm not saying sports are bad. But I'm going to tell you, you think sports don't have control of you? You just watch how much you watch. I'm going to probably never hardly watch TV ever again if I cut my sports out. Because 99.9 of my TV watching was sports. If I cut back on my sports, Eddie, I'll have way more time to read the Bible. And I won't want to break Jim Trestle's kneecaps. And Jim Trestle's a born-again Christian.
Amen.
And I love Jim Trestle. A week ago when I was watching, he did some things that I just couldn't, was unconscionable. And after that game, God convicted me. He said, you know what? You know what Ohio State does, Billy, when we get to heaven? You know how much God cares about Ohio State? He doesn't care a flip about Ohio State. He didn't care about any of them. He don't care about Ohio State Michigan game. But he does care about people dying and going to hell.
Yes.
Hello? And he does, you know what? No, look, you need to listen to me. We let our lives, sports are precious to us. We know more Bible. We know more stats about LeBron James and different people in football and baseball than we know about the Bible.
Yep.
You, I guarantee you, a lot of these kids could tell me who's in first place, who's in second place. We're obsessed with sports. What are precious things to you? I think sports is precious. That's why a lot of you will let your kids go and play sports on Sunday and miss church. Years ago, I let David go out of a Christian school so he could play sports in Ravenna. Hello? I got thinking about it. Hello? It's getting quiet now, isn't it? I'm going back a long time. And by the way, he never got to play. And by the way, it wouldn't matter. I should have never took him out of a Christian school to put him in a stinking public school. It was all because there's no football there, and he can't play baseball there and stuff. He ain't got no sports. Can I tell you something? Look up here. Don't worry about being a professional football player before you find out what God wants for your life. Can I tell you something? Most of you ain't going to make it. 99.9 ain't going to make it anyways. And by the way, who cares? Who really cares? we're so messed. Our whole life is revolved around sports. No wonder people are going to hell, Phil. The average Christian cares more about... That's why they didn't come on visitation yesterday if they weren't sick. They're more concerned about watching a football game. Hello? Isn't this good preaching?
Amen.
I haven't even got to point one yet. I'm telling you the truth. I got 7 points, 6 points. I haven't got to one yet. I'm trying to get to number one so I can quit. But you're going to get everything today. We need this. You better examine your life. You better examine your life. Some of you, you know what? Even if I would have became a star, and I was a fairly good ball player, Steve, I really was. Wasn't great, but I could hit a baseball, unbelievable. I hit it far when I was a kid. People looked at me. I was a ball player. But Brother Marty, even if I would have went off and played for the New York Yankees, which was my favorite team, I loved Mickey Mantle.
Amen.
I wore number 7 on my back. Even if I went off and became a star for the New York Yankees, how would it have compared to preaching God's word?
Yep, right.
And when this life is over, and it will, and by the way, they're building the third, they're going to build the third temple.
Amen.
You give me your email. David Richards sent me. They're fitting up the priest right now. I've got it. You give me your email and I'll forward, or I'll get David or someone, we'll forward that to you. I personally probably won't do it, but someone that knows how to run a computer will forward that thing to you. You know what? I wish you'd give me. Matter of fact, give David Richard your emails. You still got that thing on the priest, David? I got it. I kept it. I put it in my favorites. I actually put it in my favorites. There's a thing, so you can always find it. That's how I get around favorites. We're so far away from God. No wonder we don't win people to Christ, Phil. No wonder we never see things happen in our life. We're so caught up with the world. We're so filled with the world. Our affection's so much caught up in the things of sports and the world that we don't give God the time of day. Some of you could have been superstars for God. But you want to be second fiddle and be a flop for Satan.
Yep.
We're talking about precious things today. What's precious to you? Is Ohio State precious to you? Is the Cleveland Browns special to you? Cleveland Cavaliers precious to you? I mean, really, what's precious in your... Really, what I want you to do is I want to challenge you today. What's really precious in your life? What is really precious in your life today? Is some kind of, you got some favorite shows on TV that's really precious? I mean, you can't even come to church because you can't miss that show. Some foods are precious to you? What things in this life do you hold precious? I want to stir your emotions. By the way, they're building the third... They're going to build the third temple. Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
While you're out caught up in all these other things, he's coming back. I want to show you from the scriptures. I'm going to show it tonight. What things are precious to God. I'm going to give you one thing here, and I'm going to close. I'm talking about precious things. You want to know what's precious to God? Number one, and I close with number one. I'm going to continue this message tonight at 6. I won't be able to preach about the other message. I'll wait for another service. Number one, I got 5 of them, I think. The redemption of man's soul is precious to God. Psalms 49:8 says, "For the redemption of their soul, is precious. I wonder, all those people that died at 911, how many were saved? If they died without Christ, they're in hell right now. I wonder, Brother Phil, if we would have had more concern for people that for things that were precious instead of the worldly things, if some of those would have been saved. God's word says it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. For the redemption of their soul, Psalms 49:8, for the redemption of their soul is precious. Is the redemption of man's souls precious to us? It ought to be the most important thing in our life outside of our own salvation. Do we pray for people to be saved? We'll find out how precious we are. How precious are souls to you? Do we pray for people's souls to be saved? Do we witness for people to be saved? Do we give? Do we give to missions and other things to spread the gospel so people can be saved? You know, the gospel is free, but it costs money to get it out. How precious is man's soul to you? Is it more important? Is it more precious than sports? Is it more important, more precious than garments or worldly things of the world? I wonder how precious it is to you. We're going to be talking about precious things today. I told you, number one, I'm going to give you six things from God's word that are precious to God. Number one, the soul of man is most precious to God. You see, if we're really servants that want to love and serve our God, we'd want to do what's most precious in our God's heart. What's precious to you, Father? Well, souls are precious to me. I wonder, what are the precious things in our life today? Number one, the souls of mankind are precious to God. You're here today and you've never been saved. Don't you believe the devil's lie. When you die, if you're not saved, you go straight to hell. There's only a heaven, there's a hell. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing about praying, second chance. You got a chance right now. That's why the Bible says only a fool has said in his heart there's no God. You've never been saved. You need to come forward right now and ask Christ to save you. When I pray, I want my Christian workers to come forward and be ready to deal with people, because people need to be saved today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart we as Christians would realize what really is precious in this life. There are some precious things, but most of our lives, we're after precious things that we say are precious, but they're not. And Father, I know the most important thing for any person is their soul to be saved so they don't have to die and go to hell. So when they die, they go to heaven. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me?" Just raise that hand. Who would say that? Pray for me. Just lift it up. Lift it up. Let me see it. Hold it up high where I can see it. "Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I need to be saved. I've never asked Christ to save me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Jesus loves you so much, he died just for you, shed his blood just for you, rose that third day so you could have eternal life." I wonder how many young people would say, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart." No one looking around. How many would say to God today, and this is between you, me, and God, "Preacher, I'm going to keep my virginity till I get married. I want God to know it." Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God sees those hands. Amen. Oh God, I pray for these kids that they'll stay pure till the day they're married. I know there's going to be a lot of temptations in life. I pray that you'll give them victory over those temptations. I pray you'll give them the right mate. And I pray you'll give them a mate that is a virgin also. I pray that you give them a special mate, and that they both will be pure. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage these people that want to. Lord, if they've already been impure, may they make a determine in their heart that they're not going to be impure from now on. That from this day forward, they're going to stay pure. They can't change the past, but they can affect the future. And I pray, dear God, if there's lost people here today, let them see the most precious thing they have is their eternal soul. It's going to live forever and ever and ever, either in heaven or in hell. I pray your Holy Spirit, you'll convict them that they need Christ. I pray you'll convict Christians that they need to be concerned about this life, about the things that are really precious. Start selling out for God and letting the world go away. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe you might want to come and pray for your family. Maybe you might want to come and pray for your friend or someone to be saved. Maybe you just might want to pray for yourself and say, God, help me stay pure. God, help my life. Whatever it is. Maybe you want to come and be saved. Whatever it is, you come right now as we sing. And pray for your children. Seek the Lord. You want to be saved? You come. Come and be saved right now.